Up next, we have Seth Dorman. He's going to be talking about insecticide efficacy and resistance mechanism of tarnished plant bug populations in southeastern cotton.
Good afternoon. Thanks for the introduction, Ben. So I'll start by just giving a brief introduction to relevant biology and ecology of the tarnished plant bug. I'm sure this is familiar with most of you. Adult nymph are pictured here. Populations are highly prolificous with over 300 documented hosts and a preference for broadleaf weeds. Populations tend to feed and reproduce on these weeds until they senesce in the summer, then will migrate to secondary cultivated crops like cotton. And as many of you know, infestations can cause significant yield loss in cotton. This aerial photograph on the right highlights significant yield loss between managed and unmanaged field plots in Virginia. And insecticide resistance issues have been previously documented in cotton systems in the Mid-South. So Lycus linearis has been a devastating pest in Mid-Southern cotton systems for the past several decades. However, we've only recently started to observe economically damaging infestations and subsequent insecticide sprays in the Southeast. So given this trend, our objectives of this study were to first determine insecticide efficacy and resistance levels of Lycus linearis populations throughout the southeastern cotton-growing region using glass vial, bioassays, and field trials. And our second objective was to then investigate potential mechanisms of insecticide resistance, if present, using synergist and biochemical assays. Due to time, I won't be discussing our field trials this afternoon, but please feel free to ask about these after the presentation. So for our first objective, to determine insecticide efficacy and resistance levels, we collected adult Lycus linearis populations from 15 collection sites across the southeastern cotton-growing region in 2018 and 2019. These blue dots in the map represent early season collections from weeds, which mostly consisted of daisy fleabane, but also included common ragweed and cutleaf evening primrose as well. And the green and red dots on the map represent late season collections out of cultivated crops, which included alfalfa and cotton respectively. So for all of these collections, we ran glass vial bioassays using 20 milliliter scintillation vials. We tested two systemic insecticides and two broad spectrum contact insecticides. Our systemic insecticides included sulfoxaflor and thiamethoxam. For these assays, we tested at least 8 doses of technical grade insecticide, which was mixed in a 10% honey water solution. We then pipetted this onto a green floral plug. 2 adults were placed in each vial, and we checked morabundity at 48 hours. We analyzed data using probit analysis. We tried to use at least 100 adults for all of our assays, more than 200 when possible, and we discarded tests when the p-value was significant and or confidence intervals were beyond threefold of the LC50 value. For our contact insecticides, we tested bifenthrin and asphate. For these assays, we tested at least 8 doses of technical grade insecticide, which were mixed in an acetone solvent and then rolled on a hot dog roller until dry. We placed 2 adults in each vial, and morabundity here was checked at 24 hours and data analyzed using probit analysis. For all of our glass vial bioassays, we determined morabundity based on the insect's ability to right itself within 10 seconds of being placed on its dorsal surface. And we calculated resistance ratios by dividing the test strain LC50 value by the LC50 value of a susceptible lab strain. So this map represents our resistance ratio results for our systemic insecticide sulfoxaflor in 2018. The circles on the map represent early season collections out of weeds. The triangles on the map represent late season collections out of cultivated crops. And the yellow symbols here represent low resistance levels with resistance ratios below 5. The orange symbols will represent resistance ratios between 5 and 10. And the red symbols will represent high resistance ratios, tenfold greater than our susceptible lab strain. I've also listed the LC50 and resistance ratios in the table on the left for each location. We can see that for sulfoxaflor in 2018, we observed really low resistance levels across all of our collections in the southeast. We observed similar results for sulfoxaflor in 2019, low resistance across all of our collections. For our second systemic insecticide, thiamethoxam, in 2018, we also observed pretty high efficacy across the southeast, with one late season collection out of cotton in Virginia, slightly above tenfold resistance. And we observed nearly identical results for thiamethoxam in 2019, with low resistance across all of our collections this year, with one late season collection out of cotton just above tenfold resistance. So most of our populations were highly susceptible to thiamethoxam, but perhaps slight resistance may occur given repeated exposure throughout the growing season. So for our contact insecticides, Asphate, in 2018, we started to see slightly elevated resistance levels in Virginia and North Carolina in early and late season collections, with one outlier here in Alabama. We observed similar results for Asphate in 2018, slightly elevated resistance levels in Virginia and North Carolina. We observed the greatest levels of resistance to bifenthrin out of all the chemistries that we tested. We observed slightly elevated resistance in early collections in 2018 in Alabama and Virginia. And resistance was even greater later in the season, ranging from 30 to 73-fold resistance in Virginia and North Carolina. Resistance was even greater in the southeast in 2019 to bifenthrin, and we had resistance ratios ranging from 13-fold in early collections in Alabama all the way up to 67-fold in Virginia, and resistance later in the season ranged from 22-fold out of alfalfa in South Carolina all the way up to 95-fold out of cotton in Virginia. So given these high levels of pyrethroid resistance, similar to resistance levels observed in the Mid-South, we decided to move forward with our second objective, which was to investigate potential mechanisms of insecticide resistance using synergist and biochemical assays. And we decided to focus these assays on early and late collections in Virginia and North Carolina, where we were observing the greatest levels of pyrethroid resistance. So for our synergist assays, we also ran log dose bioassays with at least 8 doses of bifenthrin, as I discussed earlier. But we also added 5 micrograms of 1 of 3 synergists to each vial. We tested 2 phase 1 metabolism synergists, which included piperonyl butoxide, a mixed function oxidase inhibitor, and SS-tributylphosphorotriethylate, which is an esterase inhibitor. And we tested 1 phase 2 metabolism synergist, which is a GST glutathione S-transferase inhibitor. I'll just share our 2019 synergist results this afternoon, since these populations had the highest levels of resistance. This chart represents our Virginia results out of later in the season, out of cultivated crops. The LC50 value is in the y-axis, and error bars here actually represent 95% confidence intervals. The gray bar represents LC50 values for bifenthrin alone. The blue bar represents bifenthrin plus PBO, which is the oxidase inhibitor. The gold bar represents bifenthrin plus DEF, the esterase inhibitor. And this white bar on the end represents bifenthrin plus DEM, the GST inhibitor. We can see that for Virginia, both PBO and DEF had a synergistic effect on bifenthrin alone. We found similar results for our late season collection in North Carolina, with both PBO and DEF having some synergistic activity with bifenthrin, and DEM, the GST synergist, having virtually no synergistic activity in all of our assays. We observed similar synergist results in our earlier collections out of weeds. Again, you can see PBO and DEF having some synergistic activity in both states for our early collections. Confidence intervals likely overlapped for our early collection in North Carolina because LC50 values were much lower in this state earlier in the season than compared to our later collections. So considering both of our phase 1 metabolism synergists, PBO and DEF, had synergistic activity with bifenthrin. We decided to confirm these results with biochemical assays. And for these assays, we also made early and late collections in Virginia and North Carolina. We froze bugs in liquid nitrogen and stored them at negative 80, and then ran assays using a spectrophotometer plate reader. We quantified esterase activity by homogenizing two insects per replicate and observing a 1-naphthol acetate to 1-naphthol reaction based on a 1-naphthol standard curve at 600 nanometers. And we quantified oxidase activity by homogenizing two insects per replicate and observing a 7-ethoxycumarin to 7-hydroxycumarin reaction based on the 7-hydroxycumarin standard curve. Oops. We corrected for the amount of protein in each of our sample using the Bradford protein assay. So this chart represents our preliminary biochemical assay results for esterase activity based on 10 replicates. Significance here is based on a one-way ANOVA and Tukey HSD test. In the y-axis, we have esterase activity in nanomoles per minute per milligram. The gray bar here represents esterase activity for our susceptible lab strain. The gold bar here represents early and late collections in North Carolina. And likewise, the early and late blue bars represent collections out of Virginia. We can see that both of our late collections in North Carolina, as well as the early and late collections in Virginia, all had elevated esterase activity above the susceptible lab strain shown in the gray bar. And we observed similar results for oxidase activity, which is shown here in relative fluorescent units per milligram of protein. We can see if you look at both of the early and late collections in North Carolina and the gold bars, as well as the early and late collections in Virginia and the blue bars, all had slightly elevated levels of oxidase activity above our susceptible lab strain. So to quickly sum up our results, we did find high pyrethroid resistance in Lygus linearis populations throughout the southeastern cotton growing region in both years of our study, 2018 and 2019. We did find a slight acephate resistance in Virginia and North Carolina. And based on our synergist and biochemical assay results, oxidase and esterase activity may be increasing pyrethroid resistance in the southeast. And some applications of this research, cotton producers in the southeast should not rely solely on pyrethroids and organophosphates, should definitely consider rotating narrow spectrum chemistries like sulfoxaflor or thiamethoxamine to their spray regime when possible, similar to the existing spray programs in the Mid-South. And we certainly discourage, southeastern cotton producers from spraying prophylactic sprays with broad spectrum insecticides so we can start effectively managing insecticide resistance for this pest. I'd like to thank my funding sources, as well as my advisors, Aaron Gross, Sally Taylor, the students and technicians that helped with this research, as well as all of my co-authors who graciously sent us hundreds of bugs over the past few years, and be happy to take any questions.
Any questions?
Anders?
These are wild
types. Yes.
So do you think that there's any potential
Right, so the question is does seasonality affect the esterase activity in the wild populations? Right, yeah, so that's kind of what we found was we found lower esterase activity early in the season compared to later in the season. We did find esterase activity was a bit higher. What was kind of strange, and you might have noticed, was what seemed to be a flip-flop here, where early collections, esterase activity was low compared to later collections. And then with oxidase activity, our later collections surprisingly had lower oxidase activity. And so we're still kind of interested in why that phenomenon exists. So the question was, why do I think there was such a drastic increase in pyrethroid resistance among years? We have recently, over the past 5 years, been seeing higher plant bug numbers yearly in these states. And as a result, there has been an increase in insecticide applications. And the number one go-to is pyrethroid and acephate combo is what producers are putting out. So potentially that drove resistance. Because even in our early and late collections, we saw a pretty drastic, you know, increase in resistance just in a single season. So, you know, among years, could potentially be much greater.